Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are emotional abuse recounted, primal play, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comments, and this comes from Alex, and it's on our tentacle entanglement episode by Siggy Shade. And it says, "Why do I want to be this girl?" Which I thought was funny.
Why do you? Tell us.
Tell us.
We need to know.
Write back and tell us why.
In vivid detail.
Yes, go into detail.
And we have a sad announcement.
Oh, no.
This is going to be our last episode with Jenna.
Adios. Goodbye.
Goodbye. She is going to start her author journey. So she's going to focus on that. So when you notice she's not here anymore, don't think there's any tea. There's no tea.
No tea, no shade.
No tea whatsoever. And we'll post when her book is about to be released.
Yeah. We'll do an episode on it. Don't forget us when you're a best-selling author. Remember your roots.
That'll be in like 5 years because it's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Willing Prey by Allie Oleander. And stay tuned to the end of the episode if you want to hear our ratings.
Yeah.
So our FMC Claire has just pulled up in her beat-down Chevy to Shane Underwood's beautiful and very large home. Shane is a partner at the law firm where her ex-husband Keith works, and Shane is described as like Khal Drogo, but shaved and in a nice suit.
Hot.
But like, have you seen Jason Momoa with his beard shaved?
No, I don't want the beard gone.
I don't
want
to see that.
He did, and it's not good.
I'm not going to look it up.
Honestly, I do think he's an attractive man, but like not in the way that people are like, ugh, you know?
Let me send in the group chat the picture of him where he shaved his beard. Yes.
Also, this is a total side note. I fucking hate Barry Keoghan. I hate him.
I think everyone does right now, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I hate him for how he looks, which is terrible. That's so mean. But he just came out in an interview and said he's been hiding from the world and the internet because people have been so mean about the way he looks. And Andrew was like, "I hope you feel really bad about that." And I said, "I kind of do."
You don't know him. It's fine.
But he does have like that face that you just like want to punch.
I want to hit it so bad and like not fuck it, but like hit it. It's his eyes. He looks like a fuck.
Yeah.
Just like a guy you wouldn't want to talk to.
So Claire has come to Shane's house to be hunted for the next 30 days, and she's going to be the prey.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why she's here.
Crazy.
Claire and her ex-husband Keith had dabbled in the hunting kink during their marriage, but Shane is a complete stranger, so she's super nervous. And I guess Keith had gotten drunk at a work party a couple of years ago and let it slip in front of Shane that he had a very particular kink with his wife. She really needs the money, and Shane will be paying her $30,000, which is $1,000 a day. So every day she completes, she gets $1,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd do it. Mm-hmm.
And she needs this to get financially stable since Keith fucked her over financially before cheating on her with a much younger woman at work. So she was paying his student loans and going into debt over it.
Ew.
Uh-huh. And then he cheated on her with someone at work.
Disgusting.
Men.
Hate them.
Yep.
Shane's front door is opened for her by a beautiful blonde woman named Margot, and she introduces herself as Shane's assistant and shows Claire to the room she'll be staying in. And there is one more woman that stays at the house, and she's an older woman named Gretchen, who's the house manager. When she gets to the very nice guest room set up for her, Margot tells her she will be going over the process for the hunt with her. Claire is given a smartwatch and told that Shane will text her on this watch when he wants to hunt, and it will read run, followed by a number, which will be how many minutes she has as a head start.
Oh.
And this can be any time of the day or night.
Even when she's sleeping?
Yeah.
How would you wake up?
It'll vibrate. She can't take it off.
That would not wake me the fuck up.
No.
One of the things in the contract was like, must be a light sleeper.
Fair. I'd be like...
He's like running around the woods looking for you and you're just snoozing in your bed.
On your third REM cycle.
Yeah.
He would never find you. You'd win.
Yeah.
Margot
also tells her that Shane has hired two women for the hunt previous to hiring Claire, and it didn't work out, so he fired them. Claire is somewhat relieved to hear this because when she found out that she wasn't the first woman Shane had hired for this, she kind of assumed the women were hurt or maybe even killed because this is a very strange arrangement.
Yeah.
And she knows that. She asks why the women were fired, and Margot says she's just speculating, but maybe the women were too easy to catch, and Shane wants a challenge. He wants to hunt.
Then go hunting.
He wants to hunt for pussy.
Finding out Shane and I frequent the same coffee shop was a surprise, but not that odd, considering it's in downtown Newbound, near the firm. But him approaching me one afternoon with a business proposal that involved being hunted, shocking. Now I'm wondering if I should have asked more questions before jumping in with my whole pussy.
Yeah.
You should have.
But I mean, money. I'd probably say, yes, 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 yes.
Margot tells her to make herself at home. She can use the gym, the Wi-Fi, and anything in the kitchen. She reminds Claire of her safe word and tells her that Shane has the same one, but don't expect him to use it. Wanderlust is the safe word, and she'll be told yield as her cue to submit to him. So she's supposed to try and fight him off and run as fast as she can, unless he says yield, and then he will fuck her.
Oh, fun.
She's given a whistle to use in case of emergency if she needs the hunt to end before Shane has tracked her down, and he'll have one as well that he'll blow if she wins the hunt. And winning is if he can't find her and he gives up. Also, Shane does not do aftercare, so don't expect it.
He's just here to chase her down and frick her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think most men do aftercare for women?
The nice ones that are like heavy into BDSM, I would assume they do. But the pieces of shit that are just like, I'm a daddy dom, then probably not.
Wait, is aftercare expected after normal sex?
No.
Is that just for like BDSM?
To start requesting aftercare.
No, I think it's just like the intensity of it.
Because I'm just like rolling over after.
Yeah, because we're vanilla people.
That's true. Okay.
We're not like sinking into subspace.
I was about to be like, wow, my husband treats me like a cum rag.
Go start a fight.
I get no aftercare. Andrew, wake up.
Where's my back rub? Wash my hair.
Yeah, clean me off.
Feed me grapes.
Yeah.
Claire asks Margot if Shane has ever hunted her, and Margot looks kind of traumatized and is like, once, but it scared me, and I used the safe word once I was caught, so they didn't even fuck.
But he kept her around?
He did.
She's a great assistant.
Go, Margot.
It wasn't just a hot, steamy sex session in the woods with her hot boss. It was different, and he was different. Outside of the hunt, he's a good man, though, she assures Claire. Now Margot is engaged to someone else, and her relationship with Shane is strictly professional. And if I was her fiancé, I'd be like, quit your fucking job right now. You're not working with that man.
Yeah,
literally.
Before Margot leaves Claire's room, she turns back and adds one more piece of advice. Don't cry. Shane hates criers.
Ugh.
This guy sounds like an asshole.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't do aftercare and he hates criers.
That'd like make me want to cry more.
A day passes and Claire feels like she's going crazy about not being summoned yet, and the anticipation is killing her. As she hops out of the shower, she puts on a pair of undies, and as she goes to throw on a t-shirt, she hears a voice from behind her saying, don't. It's Shane, and he's sitting in a chair in the dark corner of her room, and he tells her he's here to sample what he'll be hunting. He tells her to get on the bed, but she decides to challenge him and refuses, so he starts walking toward her, and now she's realizing just how huge and muscular this man is.
He's just in her room.
Just sitting in a chair in the corner in the dark. He just clicks the lamp on.
Hello.
Ah! His deep brown eyes push the needle from hot to I need a new pair of panties, even though I just put these on. The intensity in his gaze is unnerving, but I can't look away. I've never seen eyes this predatory. They're hungry. They're beautiful. They're arousing and ravenous. And if I don't put space between us, I might give in to anything he wants. Shit. Maybe that's why the others got fired. He's so hot, they forgot they were supposed to run.
Oh, that's a hot man.
That is a hot man.
She runs into the bathroom and slams the door, and she can hear Shane laughing darkly in her room. She's trapped in here, but decides to squeeze through the window as he starts throwing his body against the door, trying to bust it down. And now she's on the roof.
Oh, okay.
She's hella soaked, thinking about how this man wants her badly enough to break down one of his own doors. She can hear Shane as he curses inside the bathroom, finding it empty. She finds a place above the front porch that's low enough for her to climb down without breaking her legs. But as soon as she's dangling, she hears the front door open and Shane grabs her around the waist. So she's fully dangling off the roof and he just grabs her around the waist from the front porch.
They're not fucking around.
No. She's kicking and screaming and eventually struggles enough for him to let her go, but she loses her grip on the overhang and she thumps to the ground, and then she's running. She runs across the lawn and toward the forest that surrounds it, but before she can find somewhere to hide, Shane slams her down to the ground like a linebacker. So he fully tackles her, no mercy,
Jesus,
in the grass.
It kind of sounds fun.
I mean, yeah, if it's with someone you trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a stranger.
Yeah, but lots of money, though.
Yeah.
Know? Like, for free? Absolutely not. But lots of money? Yeah.
And it is in the contract that he'll pay whatever hospital bill she needs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just in case.
But she can't cry.
She can. It's just frowned upon.
His wiener just goes down.
Yeah, he gets the ick.
Well, yeah.
Now he's on top of her, hard dick in her back, and he's sniffing her hair. She throws her head back and headbutts him right in the nose, and he's like, ah, what the fuck? She stands up, getting ready to move again, but he grabs her ankle and starts dragging her back toward the house. She's struggling against him and even manages to get a hold of a pine cone on the ground, but he doesn't even react when she pelts it at him.
My face is in the dirt. My stomach and breasts slide and scrape over the ground as my shirt rides up. It's brutal, degrading, obscene. I fucking love it.
She's having the time of her life.
All right. You're getting so many scratches and hurties.
Yeah. Hurties?
I didn't know what else to say.
He drags her almost to the porch, but then gets on top of her, pinning her hands above her head with his, and she can see his nose is dripping blood, and he looks completely unhinged. She loves it. He asks if she needs her safe word, and she says, nope.
Shane slips his hand inside my underwear, cupping my pussy. He inhales hard, muttering something I can't understand beneath his breath. It's all I can do not to hump his hand. I'm dripping. The warmth of his hand has me desperate. I need friction. Need him to press a little bit harder. You're wet. He spits the words like he's surprised or maybe offended. I don't know how to respond. You like this. Almost accusatory. His dark eyes flick to mine. If they were intense in the house, they're terrifying now. The eyes of a predator that finally has its prey where it wants it. A predator seconds away from its next meal. A meal that would love to be eaten. Does he want her to like it?
Yeah, but he also wants her to struggle.
And, like, does he want her to be fearful? Like, scared?
He wants her to act like it. So it's very much CNC, mm-hmm. where he's like, run from me and fight back. But then when I tell you we're not fighting anymore, you better be slicked up for me.
Fair. Okay.
He asks if she likes this, and she tells him she wouldn't be here if she didn't, and he thrusts two fingers into her. She wants to lean into it and have him finger blast her until she gets off, but that's not the name of the game. So she starts thrashing around trying to get away again.
Oh no, help. Not the sexy lumberjack lawyer. Not his magic fingers. Ah.
Oh no, I'm terrified.
He starts fingering the shit out of her, and although she's acting like she's struggling, her vagina is betraying her, and they can both hear how much she likes this, and it's just straight up macaroni down there.
Oh, okay.
Just as she's on the verge of a life-altering orgasm, he pulls his fingers out of her and licks them clean. Then he stands up and walks inside, leaving her on the lawn with a raging case of blue balls.
Blue balls?
Blue walls?
Yeah, it's like the female version of blue balls.
I've never heard that before. Okay.
She goes back to her room and takes a shower, even though her bathroom now has a bashed-in door. She knows her run-in with Shane was just him showing her that the only thing she controls in this situation is her consent. Everything else will be decided by him. She heads to bed thinking about just jerking off until this ache inside of her pussy subsides, but then her phone lights up and cheating piece of shit is calling. She sends the call to voicemail, so her ex, Keith, is calling.
Yuck.
Now that their marriage is officially over, Keith keeps calling and texting her, trying to hash things out, but she's beyond uninterested. Then she gets a text from him saying, I miss you, I've been thinking about you, and now she's never been so unhorny in all of her life. And mind you, he's still dating the girl that he cheated on her with. They're still together.
That is so gross.
Little does Claire know, Shane went straight to his room and jerked off twice after their rendezvous. He's currently staring at the ceiling thinking about what a fucking moron Keith is for letting this perfect woman go and not appreciating her enough to be loyal. Shane thinks that Claire just may be the perfect woman. He's wanted her since they met at that Christmas party when Keith told everyone about their private sex life. That was when he learned about primal play, and the rest is history. He'd hired women that reminded him of Claire, but it just wasn't right. He only wanted her. Once Keith's affair came to light, he started researching Claire and found her favorite coffee shop. As he thinks back to their fun on the lawn, he's got a jerk off for a third time. So he's fully been stalking her.
It's an infatuation.
He followed her. Once you find out the lengths he went to, I'm like, ew, yuck.
Oh, God.
If he wanted to, he would.
All right, Jenna.
The thought of her eager cunt convulsing around my fingers as she still fought me tooth and nail makes my balls tighten. Pressure in my cock builds to an almost unbearable level. I could have flipped her over, fucked her into the ground until grass stains marked her skin and dirt matted her pretty brown hair, sunk my teeth into her neck and left a mark for her to remember me by when I'm done with her. It's the idea of her skin marred by my teeth, my claim visible for everyone to see. That makes me lose control. The bed rocks, squeaking the slightest bit as I thrust one last time and explode into my fist, cum coating my hand and smearing across the top sheet. Fuck, I needed that.
He just smears his cum on his bed.
Gross.
He's a man. He changes his sheets and falls asleep, thinking about the moment he can finally sink his face in between her sweet, sweet thighs. The next morning, Claire knows today is the day she'll be summoned. As she's working out in the gym, her watch buzzes and the number 7 pops up. She has 7 minutes of a head start.
I feel like that's a pretty good head start.
Yeah. That is a decent head start, yeah. She snags her pre-packed bag and books it outside and into the woods. It's hunting time. Once she's in the woods, she covers her tracks as much as possible and finds a nice tree to climb. After 30 minutes in her hiding spot, Shane appears wearing tactical gear.
Jesus Christ.
He's not fucking around.
No.
He's a hunter.
That's scary. That is scary.
The tactical gear makes it more scary.
Yeah.
I think I'd get the ick.
Yeah.
Okay, look at you in your cargo pants.
Once we get to the end of the story, I will tell you why this man gives me the ick. Because he fully gave me the ick.
Okay. Ooh, I can't wait to hear. Can a pussy purr? Because mine is right now. If she had her way, I'd backflip out of this tree, stick the landing, and ask Shane to finish what he started last night.
Okay. Her inner monologue is very funny.
That is funny. It's like, I'd stick that landing.
He follows her false trail that she'd set up, and once he's out of sight, she hops out of the tree and starts to sprint. He hears her and runs after her, but she's fast and manages to lose him, or so she thinks. She looks around her and realizes she's lost in the woods and suspiciously alone. She makes it into a clearing with nothing but a huge tree in the center, but then Shane steps out from behind it. He grabs at her, so she pretends to collapse, which confuses him just long enough for her to run away again. So she just, I fainted.
Oh, smart.
But he recovers quickly, and she's caught and dragged by the hair. He kicks her legs out and gets down between her legs. She tries to crab walk away, but he pounces on her. She has to remind herself she's supposed to be trying to get away because all she wants to do is fuck this man. She's soaking wet as he sucks on her neck, but snaps herself out of it, saying she's dry as a bone. He flips her onto her stomach and rips her leggings down. He slams his fingers into her and comments on how wet she is from this and slaps her ass hard, telling her not to ever lie to him. He rips her leggings clean in half, holds her legs apart, and starts munching. She melts into the sensation, but remembers he hasn't told her to give up yet, so she still needs to fight. She starts pulling herself through the grass, and then she hears a zipper come down, and he finally says, "Yield." Then she's filled up with his monster cock. He's fucking her hard and fast into the grass. Then he starts choking her, and this is basically the best day of her life.
He squeezes lightly, then harder. If I was wet before, now the floodgates have opened, a surge of arousal rushing around his cock. The slick sounds push me closer to orgasm. "I can feel how close you are," Shane growls, his voice low. "Don't fight it. Show me how much you like being hunted, how much you like being my prey."
She comes so hard she can't even think, and then Shane is telling her she's a good little deer as he comes inside of her, which sends her into a second orgasm. And that is her pet name in this book, is Little Deer. because he's hunting her.
Kind of cute.
When it's all over, he asks if she's all right, and she says, fuck yes. So he helps her up to her feet.
Cum slides down my inner thigh, and I go to wipe it away, but Shane's quicker. Reaching down, he captures it with two fingers, pressing it back inside me. My pussy spasms on instinct, and his eyes dart from between my legs to my face. There's something untamed about his look. It steals my breath, leaves me staring back, my brain buffering while he works his fingers in and out of me. The movements are lazy, but they make my legs tremble with aftershocks of pleasure. When he withdraws his fingers, they gleam in the sunlight, his cum and my arousal blended into slickness. Lifting his index finger to his mouth, he licks it clean. I'm focused on his tongue, remembering it lapping arousal from other more pleasurable places. His lips twist into a smirk when he extends his hand to me, middle finger dripping with us. Gripping his wrist, I guide his hand into my mouth. Sucking it clean makes his eyes darken, his Adam's apple bobbing as he swallows hard. I take my time, swirling my tongue around his fingertip before I release him. Delicious. My voice doesn't sound like me. Okay, just swapping fluids.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It used to weird me out when they would like push cum back inside.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, okay.
Yeah. That's kind of hot.
I'm like,
kind of hot.
Mm-hmm.
He heads back to the house while she stays out in the woods for a while to get a lay of the land for the next hunt. Two more days pass and Shane has been too busy at work to hunt Claire. But tonight is the night. Before he leaves work, he's waiting at the coffee machine when Keith comes sauntering up asking what Shane's weekend plans are. He almost says, fucking your ex-wife, but decides to tell Keith he'll be hiking. And Keith is like, oh, nice. I think I'm going to try and check in with my ex, see how she's doing. And now Shane's pissed and was like, what about Naomi, which is the paralegal he had an affair with? And Keith is like, yeah, we're still together, but I wouldn't turn down hate sex from Claire either. And besides, I bet she still loves me. And Shane is just like, yeah, probably not, dude.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But Keith is a piece of shit and is like, she'll probably fuck me just to get back at Naomi. She's crazy competitive like that. And she's really good at sex. It's the only reason I stayed with her as long as I did. Shane is seeing red and is like, okay, shut up now. This is inappropriate talk for work. Shane's work bestie, Tanner, is present for this whole interaction. And when they finally walk away from Keith, they head to Shane's office where Tanner asks what the fuck that was all about. And Shane tells him not to encourage Keith to reach out to Claire. Tanner asks why, with a suspicious look on his face, and Shane is like, because I'm seeing her.
It's technically not a lie. I saw her spread on the forest floor beneath me. I saw her body writhe and squirm when she came. I saw my cum dripping out of her slick, hot cunt. Every time my mind gets off its leash, I see her in my head. It's why I can't get a damn thing done today. I can't stop seeing her.
Tanner tells Shane what a bad idea this is. Keith is only here because he's important to secure a huge merger, so don't let this get messy. But Shane says Keith never needs to find out. Tanner says the sex better be worth at least $3 million because that's what it'll cost them to piss Keith off. But if fucking Keith's ex-wife makes him nicer at work, then maybe it's worth the money. Because I guess he's just a surly dude at work and everyone hates to be around him.
Oh.
He takes work very seriously.
Yeah. And Tanner's like, if it makes you less of an asshole, fuck it.
Yeah, all right.
Shane is like, okay, now get out. I have shit to do. He sends a quick email and heads home early for the day. When he gets home, he gives Claire a 10-minute head start, and it's time to hunt. He follows her footprints all the way to the lake where he spots her hiding behind a rock in the water. Her back is to him, so she doesn't know he spotted her already. She's still wearing all of her clothes, but he wants to be faster, so he strips and gets into the water without making a sound. But when he swims up to her, he realizes it wasn't Claire in the water at all. She put her shirt over a bush growing out of the rock, and she's bamboozled him. So she made like a scarecrow of herself.
Smart.
He sees her on the shoreline topless, running toward the woods, so he snatches up her top and swims back to shore. But when he gets to his pile of clothes, he finds them gone. All that's left are his undies and shoes. That would also give me the ick.
Ew, yeah, watching him run in his underwear with shoes on.
Boots.
Yeah, yuck.
He chases her deep into the woods, and now she knows he's hot on her trail. She's sprinting, but obviously she's tired, and when she finally stumbles over a branch, he tackles her to the ground. Immediately, he tells her to yield and strip. He has to have her now. Once she's naked, he's on top of her, licking and sucking at her breasts with the craziest boner he's ever had. Claire pulls his boxers down and grinds herself against him. That's his final straw, and he thrusts into her, fucking her brutally.
You can try to act like you don't, but you love this, I say. Are you going to be my good girl like last time? Come so hard you almost strangle my cock.
Maybe I will. I don't know.
She tries to reach down to touch herself, but he pulls her hand away and pins both hands above her head, telling her she'll have to fight for her orgasm. As he holds her hands with one of his, he reaches down and starts to play with her clit, giving it a little pinch, which he can tell she really enjoys. Then he pulls out of her and hears her almost start to sob from the loss.
Tell me you love it, little dear. I tap my cockhead on her clit, holding in my groan as she trembles. Tell me you love being run down and taking my big, thick cock. What is she supposed to say? I love your big, thick cock.
Yeah, I love yeah. it.
Then he slides back into her and tells her to say it, but she refuses, so he starts fucking her as slow as he possibly can. He flicks her in the clit and pulls out of her to start fucking her thigh crease instead, letting her know he can do this all night. He'll wait. She calls him a fucking bastard, and now they're having a total power struggle. Shane loves it.
Please say it. I'm begging her mentally, almost regretting this war I started. Except she is exquisite like this, ravenous and wild in a way that makes me think she'd devour me if I let her go. Rubbing my palm down her slit, I slick my cock with her arousal. Stroking myself over her, I watch her eyes grow hooded. Her throat shudders as she swallows. My cock's never been harder, every vein bulging, the head red and angry.
Claire growls out, I fucking love it. And he's like, love what exactly?
Her voice, as hungry as mine, is the only thing that saves me. I love being run down and taking your big, thick cock. My response is instant, instinctive, hips dropping. I drive in so hard, her teeth click together. Good fucking girl. A punishing thrust follows each word. Good little dear.
They both have the best orgasms of their lives, and when it's done, Shane knows he should get up and head home. He doesn't cuddle, but he gives in and they both fall asleep on the ground. 20 minutes later, Claire wakes up to hot, rancid garbage breath being blown in her face. And now she's like, wow, Shane has some rank fucking morning breath. But when she opens her eyes, it's a black bear.
Jesus fucking Christ.
They fell asleep in the woods. What do you expect?
That's true. Aren't black bears like the most dangerous?
No, grizzlies.
Brown lay down, black fight back, I think. At least it wasn't a polar bear.
Yeah. I heard they're really mean.
Yeah, they're the only apex predator that'll hunt humans specifically.
Like for sport.
To eat them.
Yeah.
Well, that's because global warming is getting rid of the rest of their food. So.
Yeah, I feel like it's well deserved.
Yeah, they should kill humans.
She jumps back, which causes Shane to jolt awake, and she's like, there's a fucking bear. He tells her not to move and gets himself between her and the bear, but as it starts sniffing at her hair, she starts to panic and it lunges. Shane swings and clocks the bear straight in the face, and Claire feels a sharp pain in her abdomen as he kicks her out of the way. So he fully just pops this bear and kicks her in the stomach.
Yeah, God.
When she gets her bearings, she sees the bear running away into the woods.
You punched a bear, I croak. Who punches a bear? Clad in only black boxer briefs and boots, he's staring at the brush where it vanished, clearly ready in case the bear returns. It was more of a smack.
Still, that'd be kind of cool.
But like he's wearing underwear and boots.
Yeah.
And fighting a bear.
Even cooler.
She thanks him for not letting the bear maul her face, and he says it would be a shame if it did because she has a nice face. He apologizes for kicking her and asks if she's okay, and she gives an awkward thumbs up because she's so flustered. They get dressed, but Claire discovers the bear stole her undies. Shoot.
Oh, no.
Shane tells her he'll walk back with her to the house, and she's like, isn't that in the contract that you don't do stuff like that? But he's offended, asking if she really thinks he'd leave her here to walk through the woods with a bear somewhere out there. As they walk, they chit-chat about his family and how he acquired all of this property, and she tells him a little bit about herself. They get a little fright from a very loud raccoon in a bush, and they burst out laughing together as it scurries away. Once they get back to the house, they go their separate ways, and Claire takes a much-needed shower. And she can't stop thinking about this new side of Shane. When she's done showering, she dries off and starts brushing out her wet hair when she feels a lump on the back of her head. It's a tick.
Ew.
She's having the worst day. She grabs tweezers and knocks on Shane's door saying she's sorry to bother him and asks if Margo's around, but they're the only ones there. She's like, this is super awkward, but can you help me get a tick off my head? He leads her to his gorgeous bathroom where the lighting is better, and he starts picturing her all naked and sudsy in the shower.
Okay, she just asked you to get a tick off her head. Chill.
Yeah, I'd be like,
Not now.
It's not the time.
My cock likes where my imagination is headed. Careful. She'll think you have a tick fetish or something.
She will.
She apologizes for how gross this is as he finds the tick in her hair and gets ready to pluck it off, and he assures her it's fine. She's worried it's a turnoff for him, but he reassures her again. They start chit-chatting as he works on her, and Shane is really starting to like having her around, so he tells her that Keith was an idiot who fucked up because Claire is a real catch. She starts to laugh because catch, prey, Hunter. And then she's like, all right, I'm so sorry. I'll let you get back to whatever you were doing. But he doesn't want her to leave. So he's like, do you want to watch TV with me? And she's surprised, but says, okay. They sit on the couch and watch this real estate show together. But Claire winds up falling asleep. It sounds like a House Hunters show. One of those HGTV shows.
Love those.
When she wakes up an hour or so later, she's like, shit, I'm so sorry, I'll head to bed. But when she does, Shane kind of misses having her there next to him, using him like a pillow. He heads to bed and plucks the half-used tube of lipstick he'd swiped from Claire a few months before. And then we learn he's kind of been stalking her since the Christmas party. Like, he fully had a Word doc on her likes and dislikes after following her around.
Oh, yeah, that's creepy.
He'd learned about her money troubles after the divorce, after eavesdropping on her hanging out with her friends at the coffee shop. At that particular recon mission, she'd accidentally dropped her purse and everything in it went spilling out on the floor. That's when he stood up and rushed to help her. She'd recognized him from the Christmas party and they made some cute little small talk as he helped her pick up her stuff and then she left. But she didn't see the lipstick on the ground, so Shane swiped it and the shade was called Wanderlust, their safe word.
Oh.
It's been a week of Shane and Claire watching an episode of The Homemaker Show every single night. As they watch tonight's episode, Keith tries calling her again. Shane asks if they talk a lot, and she says no, but he often calls. She has zero intention of ever talking to him again. Shane and Claire establish that they are friends, so Shane has a very important question, and that is how she got into hunting. She says that she got into it because Keith, but it turns out that she likes it. She asks him how he got into it, but he can't tell her because of her. He says he just heard about it and it sounded interesting, so he thought he would try it. They talk through the night and Shane is actually a very funny and thoughtful guy and she knows that she likes him a little more than she should. She tells herself to keep emotional distance because they are not dating. He's literally paying her to fuck him.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been 18 days of her running, Shane chasing and catching and fucking her, but today she has a different plan. She hides out in a small rocky nook that she found after their first hunt. He follows her trail but passes her hideout. She waits a few minutes and then stalks after him. He does not notice her and it goes on a while. And she actually loves the other end of the hunt.
Ooh, I feel like that would be fun.
Oh, how the turntables.
Yeah.
She ends up following him for 3 hours. So this man does not give up for 3 whole hours.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'd get like 15 minutes in and be like, whistle.
Yeah.
Blowing my whistle.
I'm done.
He still doesn't know she's there. She's tired, thirsty, but she can't stop. She's just daydreaming about his ass. Finally, he blows the whistle and she fucking won. He couldn't find her, so she jumps up saying she won, and he whips around, shocked. Then something dark takes over and she's internally cursing herself. He stalks toward her with a bulging crotch until he invades her space.
I'm sorry, but the words he stomps towards her with a bulging crotch. That's scary.
Ew.
That's a little scary.
Yeah.
Like nightmare fuel.
In his tactical gear.
Yeah, I'd be like, get your dick away from me.
When he leans in until we're nose to nose, I don't know if I want to scream for him to stop because I'm nervous or because I want him to hurry up and fuck me already. I think you deserve a prize, he murmurs, one hand toying with the hem of my t-shirt. Should I kiss your cunt until you scream, lick you until you come all over my tongue? Yeah.
Yeah, do that.
She says no, she wants her prize to be that she makes him come on her tongue. Shane is incredibly turned on by the strategy, and then hearing that she wants to pleasure him as her prize, he's like, down. He pushes her to her knees and tells her hands behind her back, and then he undoes his pants. She demands her prize, but he doesn't rush pulling his cock out. She's frustrated, and he finally gives in.
Fighting back a smile, I tug down the front of my boxer briefs at last. She huffs a whimper, gripping my cock. I spit on it. I move closer and she leans in, mouth opening to receive me. No, it's a growl as much as a word. You won, but you don't call the shots. You want my cum on your tongue? You'll get it, but it won't be until I give it to you.
Oh my God, your dick is not a prize. Calm down.
Yeah, chill. You're lucky I even wanted to suck your dick.
It is, though, because that's the whole game. I mean, I guess, but like... Charlotte's like, he's just giving me the ick.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
She glares at him, but opens her mouth wide and does as she's told. He face fucks her until he's coming down her throat and she loves it. She swallows every drop and he checks in, making sure she's okay since he was a little rough. She says yes and he tells her good because they are not done yet. He grabs her and hauls her to the nearest tree, pinning her back to it.
There's a branch above her, the right height for her to grip without stretching. Grab the branch, both hands. No matter what, don't let go. What the fuck?
If something relied on my strength, I'd be done for.
Yeah, I'd be like, safe word, safe word, safe word. No.
He drops to his knees and spreads her legs open and then starts to eat her out. She uses a tree to help her ride his face.
Arousal trails down my jaw. She's covering me and I love it. Sliding three fingers into her, I work her convulsing pussy, stretching her as wide as her body will let me.
Okay.
He starts edging her until she's begging him for a release. Over and over, he continues to edge her until she's literally screaming his name and begging. Finally, he gives in and doesn't stop until her orgasm passes. When she gets redressed, she asks where he learned to do that. He does not mention the first hunting partner he hired was also a sex worker, and he paid the sex worker to give him a re-intro course into sex, hands off.
So
he's like, I need to pay this woman. I haven't had sex forever. Lady, what do I do?
How cool. Okay. While it's nice to hear the crash course was a wise investment, there's no good way to tell Claire that I fingered a fake pussy to build an arsenal of techniques to try on her.
So like the sex worker brought like fake vaginas for him to practice on.
That, I mean, like cute that like he wanted to do a good job. But like, I don't know, something about that. I'm like, oh, okay.
I would just imagine the sex worker being like, more tongue. Nope. Don't do it right there. Nope. I can't help you. I'm not allowed to touch.
Yeah. That's the pussy lip.
He tells Claire, oh, just how anyone learns, I guess. I don't know. Trial and error. And then they start their long walk back because remember, they walked for 3 fucking hours.
Oh, yeah. They're dedicated. So dedicated. Like Charlotte said, after 15 minutes, I'd be like, whistle. We're done.
Yeah.
Someone would have to call a chopper and be like, you have to pick me up. I'm not walking back 3 hours.
Yeah, no. No.
The next day, she gets coffee with Sydney. So her best friend has proof that she's alive and so she can give her all of the mail that's accumulated in their apartment. Sydney knows about the contract and is convinced there's something wrong with Shane. Claire tries to ensure her that he's actually really nice.
You need to be careful. I know there's something. He has a room full of stuffed animals with fleshlights up their asses. He replaces the cream and Oreo cookies with jizz. Keeps a mannequin foot in the freezer and... ew, something about fleshlights up their asses. Stop it.
Before she can finish, Gretchen, Shane's house manager, cuts in saying, there's nothing like that, but I am too old to get into the attic, so maybe something up there. And Claire is fucking mortified. She's like, oh my gosh, she's going to tell my boss that I'm talking shit about him. But Claire introduces the two. Gretchen and Sydney instantly bond, and Claire's loving it. She continues opening her mail when a Polaroid from a letter falls out. It's her and Keith 11 years ago, and grief hits her all at once. When she opens the letter, it's in Keith's handwriting, and she has one of the girls read it. Grief quickly turns into anger because she knows he's doing this on purpose since she won't answer his phone calls.
Yeah, he's just manipulating her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Claire throws the letter and photo away, and the two of them are so proud of her. Gretchen again says that Shane is actually a really great guy, just stubborn and doesn't give up easily on things that he wants. Then Gretchen's daughter calls and she has to leave. Day 22, he gives her a 5-minute head start. He easily catches her, but she fights him off as best as she can. She ends up getting them both to the ground, but lands on a rock. But she's in it to win it because she takes off running again.
Nice.
He tackles her quickly in the yard and literally rips her clothes off. When he doesn't say yield, she tries again to run while he undresses.
One of his hands slips between my legs, the other gripping my hair. I'm on all fours before him, my heart in my throat, when he uses a knee to knock my thighs further apart. Dragging his fingertip along my pussy, he leans forward till his lips are right behind my ear. So wet and needy, but still trying to run. Tell me to yield.
Then he thrusts into her and she loves it. He bites her neck and says he wants her to scream how much she loves this, but she's stubborn. It starts pouring rain, thunder's going off, there's lightning, but he's still pounding that pussy. She still refuses to yell it out again when he tells her to.
Shane releases my throat, shoving my face against the ground. Dirt's in my mouth, grass is up my nose, and he's inside me, trembling and thrusting. There's pain, a flash of white light coming with it. I'm not sure if it's lightning or my brain reacting to the sensation of Shane's teeth sinking deep into the back of my neck. This isn't like the other times he's bitten me. This hurts.
Oh.
He broke skin.
He's like...
But they both come. When she comes down from her post-orgasm, she feels super emotional from how intense it was and hopes he leaves quickly so she can have her little emo moment alone. He tries to check on her to ensure that she's okay because of how intense it was, but she dismisses him and he walks away. On her way back to her room, she lets the tears fall. But Shane takes care of his boo. Her bath is drawn with Epsom salt and he's waiting for her. He checks on her again and leaves before she can say thank you. Shane can't stop thinking about how perfect that was, but also the intensity of it. He feels awful that he walked away from her in the field, but knew she needed space. And now he's scared she's going to leave 8 days early. He wants her to stay for real and date her, and he wants to talk to her about all of it. He rushes up the stairs again to ask if she's fine. She says, yep, that's what he pays her for, and then she falls asleep. So he feels even worse now. The next day, he researches primal play and realizes he might have fucked up from the very beginning by putting no aftercare into the contract. So everything he is researching, which, bitch, why didn't you research beforehand?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Is like, give aftercare. Aftercare is important. And he's like, no aftercare.
Yeah, he's literally treating her like a piece of meat.
Literally.
And that's it.
Yeah. He continues his workday as normal until after lunch, he takes a kink test. He answers each question as if he would do them only with Claire, and turns out he's a real freak.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, his brother calls. He asks Shane to go to the house that he's house-sitting for so he can see Shane since it's been a while. Shane would rather go home, but says yes to his brother. Once he gets there, we learn that his brother's name is Kane, and he tells his brother everything. He needs to know if he fucked up his chances with Claire. Kane is confused as to why he would need a contract to date this woman. Shane tries to say it's to simplify things, which makes Kane laugh because it sounds like it's not simple at all.
No.
He tells Shane to just ask her out normally, but Shane doesn't think that's good enough. Kane pushes Shane to be honest with her, and he says that he'll try. It's 2 days later. Kane shows up at Shane's house while Shane is at work. He sizes Claire up, and when she introduces herself, he's like, I already know who you are.
Okay.
Margot starts laying into him, and they have like this weird dynamic. So I don't know if there's another book with them or not.
Yeah, it's book two. It hasn't come out yet, but I really want to read it.
Ooh, okay.
But Margot starts laying into Kane for not having any manners towards Claire, and Claire's like, I'm gonna go. But Kane says, are you going? Because he's ready to hunt. I thought he was still at work. So he's like totally like rubbing it in her face that he knows about it.
That's so weird.
Claire is completely mortified.
He's like not being a dick. He's trying to be like playful, but like he doesn't know her. So she's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Just then, Shane's car comes down the driveway. He goes inside to see the tensions are really high between Margot, Claire, and Kane. Margot leads Kane away so Claire and Shane can have a moment, and he profusely apologizes for telling Kane about their arrangement without asking her first. He promises it will not happen again. He explains that Kane is here to see Gretchen before she moves to New York City. She's like a second mom to them since she was their mom's best friend growing up, and their mom has since passed away.
Oh.
But then he steers the conversation away from his family because he's curious to see if she'd fuck him inside the house, no hunt.
Oh.
Just as he's about to find out, Kane waltzes back in, ruining the moment.
I stifle a groan, turning to see my brother and Margot enter. Angling my hips to try to hide my erection from their view forces me to move toward Claire. Maybe she won't notice I'm hard. The smothered giggle she makes lets me know she does.
Kane apologizes to Claire and declares they should all go do something fun for dinner. He's starving, so they all leave to go to what is described as like Food Truck Fridays.
Ooh, fun.
They have a hard time deciding what to pick, so Claire says everyone order one to two things from something that sounds good, and then they'll all share it potluck style. Everyone's like, for sure, break. Shane and Kane go one way, her and Margot go the other, and then they all meet back at a picnic table with their choices. Kane offers Claire a donut, declaring it's like sex in your mouth. She politely takes it, but just sets it on the napkin.
Shane breaks off a piece of the donut. After he chews and swallows, he shakes his head, not as good as pussy. Then he's leaning in close, lowering his voice to a near whisper. There isn't a taste on earth better than your cunt.
All right.
She blushes because she wants Shane so bad, and he smiles at her like he knows.
I'm sure I look stupefied, but his eyes soften as I turn to meet his gaze. Finally, I get out. I honestly don't know how to respond to that. The tiniest crinkle of his nose, his eyes dropping to my lips. Well, I haven't tasted your tongue yet. It might be just as enjoyable. It might be.
Cute.
Because they've never smooched.
Now kiss.
He asks if he should find out, and she says yes. As he goes to lean in, his eyes change from horny to pissed off. And then Keith asks what Claire's doing there. She turns to see Keith and Naomi.
Fuck you, Keith.
Claire's like, oh, fuck, this is awkward. Shane is obviously no longer happy. He's basically glaring at Keith. Kane is obviously the odd one out, and he has no idea who Keith and Naomi are. And he decides to invite them to sit with them at the table. He's like, hey, guys, come on, sit down with us. We just started eating.
Oh, God.
Rather than the couple sitting together, Keith decides to plant himself right next to Claire and leaves Naomi to sit on the other side of the table by herself.
Ew.
Keith is like, so I've been trying to get a hold of you. And she just point blank looks at him and she's like, why? I've obviously been ignoring you. Get the hint.
Yeah. Also, your girlfriend's here.
Yeah. But she's on the other side of the table. So it's just like them talking.
Ugh.
Shane's still mean mugging him at the table, and Keith asks to speak to her privately. She begrudgingly agrees, and Shane tells her that she doesn't owe him anything, and that warms her aching little heart. She tells her Pookie that she knows, but she just wants to get this talk over with. And Shane can't believe the audacity of this motherfucker. Brother Kane, who's sitting next to him, is like, dude, what is going on? Because she left to go talk to Keith, and he fills him in who Keith is, who Naomi is, and even though Keith is with Naomi, he's still trying to actively get Claire back.
Weirdo.
During the brothers' talk, they look over and see that Margot is now sitting alone when Naomi was sitting next to her. They ask where she went, and she's like, oops, my drink spilled. Darn.
Shoot.
No. Shoot. Shane goes to stand guard to watch out for Claire, and Keith has never been physically aggressive, but he doesn't trust him at all. He's not eavesdropping on their conversation, but he's there just in case shit hits the fan, and he's watching them animately talk from afar. Claire goes to walk away, and Keith reaches his hand out to grab her. Instantly, Shane's moving forward and is in front of Claire asking Keith what the hell he's doing. But he might have misread the situation because Keith isn't grabbing onto her arm to hold her back. He grabbed her hand. So now he just looks like an overprotective ogre.
Oh, no.
Immediately, Keith turns to Claire and he's like, what are you doing here with him? And she tells him it's none of his business. She says he should be worried about his girlfriend since he left her to talk to his ex-wife.
Yeah. And now she's gone.
Yeah. So Shane and Claire walk back to the table together, leaving stupid Keith behind. It's day 29 and Claire has hella anxiety because they had two almost kisses and it hasn't been brought up since. And she hasn't been summoned for another hunt. They're sitting on the couch watching Real Estate Rec, which is their show, and she's still spiraling over this because they're not hunting and she's supposed to be hunting every day. So she's like, oh my God, maybe he's like totally lost interest in me and doesn't want to touch me.
I'd be like, my money.
Yeah.
She gets it regardless.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll do whatever you want. You want to watch TV? Sure.
Not being able to hold it anymore, she decides to bring it up to him. She asks if he plans on hunting tonight and he's like, do you want to? Obviously, she's bursting at the seams to be hunted, but he follows that up by asking if she'd be down to do something different today. The contract states all hunts are to be completed outside, but what if they do it inside since it's been storming these past couple days? She feels like a weight has been lifted off of her chest. She's like, oh my God, that's why you haven't called me to hunt. You don't mean to get wet?
I thought she was going to be like so stoked that she was about to bang inside.
That too, but she's just like so stoked he still wants to hunt her. He just did it because of the weather.
I love a good inside fuck.
Yeah.
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 I don't want to fuck in the dirt.
She's one of the wilderness, though. She loves it.
I would be so worried about something getting in my vagina. Like dirt, a bug, anything.
She's already had run-ins with a bear and a tick.
Yeah. Something could get in your asshole, your vagina. I don't know. That's just scary.
Mm-hmm. That's like foreplay for her, I fear.
Yeah.
It is. He reminds her that the last time that they hunted in the rain, when he bit her shoulder, her lips were literally blue when she got back inside. And he's not really trying to do that to her. And elated, she's totally down for an inside hunt. He gives her a 3-minute head start. Shane is prowling through the house when he hears a thud in the library and he finds her. He starts closing in and Margot stops him in his tracks to ask him a business question. During that moment of distraction, Claire dashes out and runs away, continuing the hunt. When Margot's done asking him the question, she has a sly smile on her lips and he realizes that she set him up to get Claire more time. Shane looks all over the house and still no Claire. He's come to one conclusion that she must have gone outside. He went into his room and opened his closet to grab his shoes. When he turned the lights on, he found his little deer. But she's not a scared, timid little deer. She's gone full rabid now. She lunges like a puma and charges him, trying to get out of his hold. He picks her up and carries her towards the bed, and she knows that she's got to start switching things up.
I grab his cock. He freezes. Shane's gray sweatpants don't do a thing to hide how hard he is. My fingers wrap around him and I squeeze gently. This is the first time I'm doing the touching. It feels different, but I like it. I start to massage him just a little. The hand in my hair loosens. So does the one at my waist. He's watching me touch him, fascinated, as I'm doing something much more X-rated than fondling him through his pants. I pull down his sweats and discover he isn't wearing underwear when his cock bursts free, smacking against his stomach.
Jesus.
Thwack.
That's a big old dick.
He looks good. Delicious. There's a drop of arousal on his tip, and when I run my hand down his length, he inhales like it might be his last breath.
She starts giving him a handy, and just when he's at his edge, she lets go of him and runs. She's determined to have him ask for another 30 days. She doesn't want this to end between them, so she wants to make this the most memorable hunt he's ever had. As she's running through the house, the power goes out due to the storm, but Claire is determined to let this game continue on. She travels blind to where the library would be, and the lights flicker, showing her that she's heading in the right direction. They flicker once more, but this time, Shane found her. Rather than him pinning her to the ground and taking her hard and steamy right there in the hallway, he spins her around so she's facing him, and he gives her a big old smooch right on the lips, and it's their first official kiss.
Cute.
It's hot and intimate and completely separate from their hunting. It's real. When the kiss breaks, he tells her that they're going to his room now. Inside, she's like, well, I'll be damned. A new trick. You do fuck inside. He tells her that he has so many tricks he can show her. And when she asks if she can see them all, he tells her not tonight. He needs something to keep her around with. And this makes her levitate with happiness. She playfully bites him. And the next thing she knows, he whips her around and spanks her ass.
Little deer, don't bite, he says, voice as smooth as I feel jagged, not unless they want to be spanked.
And then they take a trip to Pound Town. It's the most intense orgasm she's ever had in her entire life. Every time they fuck, it's the best orgasm of her life.
Good for her.
When Claire comes back down to earth, Shane is laying on his back next to her.
Tell your pussy break time's over, he says as he slides down until he's flat on his back. Put her on my face. Her, yes, she, her.
She's like, I'm a big girl. I don't know if you seem to realize that.
She's a big girl?
She's a big girl. She's got some curves.
Yeah, I think she's a little thickums.
Represent. Sit on my goddamn face before I bend you over the bed again. His voice is even, but there's a steel in his gaze.
He said, if I die, I die doing what I love.
Yeah.
rest in pussy.
Mm-hmm. She does as she's told, but all worries fade away once he starts tongue fucking her.
Oh, fuck. The things he's doing with his tongue. It's good. Too good. I might get lost in it and smother him. I don't want us to end up as a cautionary tale in a sex ed course. Don't worry, girl.
He demands her to ride his fucking face. She's still holding herself up a lot and she's being very cautious, but she realizes that the more that she sits down on him and rides him, the more he's focused on her clit. So basically, fully fuck his face if she wants to come. Now she's not worried about crushing him at all. She's got her eye on the prize. They end up fricking again, and homegirls had 3 orgasms this whole sesh. She's truly well spent.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Just when she's like, well, I guess I should get going. Shane tells her, let's have a shower before bed. So he, in 1, invites her to shower with him, and 2, invites her to sleep together. He gives her the password to his phone because Margo texts him every time she leaves for the day so she can walk Nikki back to her room to get her shower stuff. And she's like gobsmacked that he willingly gave her his password because Keith would never.
Yeah, because he's cheating on you.
Yeah. I'd be scared of her finding my Word doc on her likes and dislikes.
That's yeah. His work computer. Don't worry about that.
Oh, right.
With her heart all light, they shower and get to bed. As they're laying there, he apologizes for no aftercare earlier, and he should have done more homework beforehand. She thanks him and waits for him to say more, like maybe him wanting her for another 30 days. But then she hears a light snoring. So like this whole time she was waiting, and then he's just like... Tomorrow's day 30, so he's got to say something by then. In his sleep, he grabs her close and doesn't let her go. It's the next morning and Claire wakes up to hear Margo talking to another woman in the house. It sounds like she's giving her a tour, and the guest room that's next to Claire, the door's open and there's a suitcase and a duffel bag filling the room. And Claire's like, oh my fucking God, like it's day 30. He's already found my replacement.
Oh my God, who is it?
She's literally spiraling in the middle of this hallway. And at this exact time, her shitty ass ex, Keith, texts her. And he's like, boo-hoo, I miss you. I work so hard and work sucks. And I just really wish I had someone to talk to.
Go talk to Naomi.
She decides to text him back for the first time ever. And she says, go talk to your girlfriend about this. And finally, she blocks the motherfucker.
Thank God. I thought she was about to go back to him.
Although this should have made her feel good, she feels the complete opposite because she feels so stupid thinking that Shane liked her more than Prey. She knew that she signed the contract and it was a strict business deal. Like the whole point of it was to just have 30 days. And she's going through hardcore feelings of abandonment again, but it's worse this time because it's her own fault. She's so humiliated and she literally starts speed packing her room to get the hell out of Dodge. She makes it to the front door when Margo stops her to introduce her to Sophia, the beautiful 23-year-old bombshell. Margo asks if she's okay, but Claire can't even look at the beautiful woman that's going to be spending all the time with Shane now. She makes a break for it and runs out of the house. The waterworks won't stop even after she gets home. She checks her bank account and all of the funds are there, proof that this was all just a business deal. She wallows in pity for 4 hours and then decides she's going to put herself together and go on a big camping trip for this weekend. When Shane gets off work, he rushes to get home to Claire. He wishes that he talked to her the night before, even in the morning, but he didn't want to wake her when she looked so peaceful. He decided that leaving a cutesy little note on the bathroom mirror would have to do until he got home.
Did she see that note?
No, because she woke to the voices in the hallway and she went right out in the hallway.
Ugh.
When he gets home, though, he immediately notices that she's not there. Rushing to her bedroom, he sees Gretchen making the bed of the now empty room. And poor Pookie is in such denial. He's like, oh, like, did she move in my room? Like, where is she? Margo chimes in. She's more stern than usual. And she's like, she left. Her 30 days were up. And when I was showing my sister around, she looked like she was going to puke all over the house.
Well, why was your sister there, Margo?
And he forgot that he told Margo that her sister could stay with them while her house was getting painted. And he can't believe that she left. The note said, will you please stay until I get home so we can talk? And they're like, well, all you had to do was have a conversation. Like, what if she didn't see the note?
Yeah.
Or send her a text.
Something.
This is 2026. Jesus yeah. Christ.
For real.
Margo tells him that he's got to make this right because he really hurt her. Immediately, Shane goes to call her, but it goes right to voicemail. He decides as forward as it is, he's got to go to her house, and he pulls her address from the contract. Of course, she doesn't answer, and then he notices that her truck isn't there, and he's like, oh my God, what if she went back to Keith? I've really fucked up. As he's waiting at her apartment complex for hours, his phone vibrates, and it's an update for the app that's on her watch. He goes to the app and it does have a GPS attached to it. And this is the first time that he's ever clicked on it to use it. And he decides to see where his girl is. After finding that she's at a lake with trails and remote camping, he's on his way. The next day, Claire is feeling a little bit better after trying to mend her broken heart. She steps out of the tent to see a person sleeping inside the hammock next to her tent. And mind you, she's like remote camping.
Fuck no.
Why would you do that? Why would you just go to sleep in her hammock?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was blaming her. I was like, why would you go remote camping by yourself?
He could have just walked up and been like, hey, it's Shane. I'm here to talk. But he's like, I'll sleep in her hammock. Let her find me in the morning.
I'm just going to go to sleep.
He didn't want to ruin her Cheryl Strayed moment. Okay, you guys?
Yeah, I guess.
And obviously, she doesn't know who this lump of a person is. And she's pissed. She's like, why the fuck does this have to be a man-sized lump? Like, why can't it be a fucking bear?
She chose the bear.
Yeah.
Fair.
She goes back inside her tent and grabs a knife and steadies her voice. And she walks up to the stranger and she's like, can I help you? But it's not a stranger. It's Pookie Shane. Her guard is up and he tells her that he found her through the watch. She feels like an idiot for stealing the watch. And then she's like, oh my God, you're going to need this for your next prey. And he's like, girl, you don't get it. Keep the watch.
He's like, you're my prey forever.
She asks him why he came here and he apologizes that he hurt her. She tells him that Sophia didn't hurt her, but she wishes that he at least said goodbye before he got new prey. And now everything is clicking. He tells her that Sophia is Margot's sister, not his prey. He lays it all out for her. What they have between them isn't just a business transaction. It's more than that.
Does he tell her the truth that he stalked her?
No, that was my main thing.
He never tells her?
No. He never tells her.
But he tells her everything else.
Yeah, that's like a huge thing to leave out. And also finger blasting a fake vagina.
Yeah, their relationship is built on a lie.
There's a lot of things he's done where she would be well within her rights to be like, ooh.
Yikes.
Brother, ooh. She loves how raw and vulnerable he's being right now. And she tells him that she's going to need him to spell out exactly what he wants. He asks her to move in with him for real, and he doesn't want her to leave him when things get rough. She says as long as she's the only woman that he'll be chasing, she's in. Since he was just so open with her, she asks him if he would ever be open to let her hunt him.
Mm.
And to her delight and surprise, he says yes.
It's an exhale of an answer, more of a prayer. With you, fuck yes. The hunger in his voice fuels my need. I want to see Shane run from me, hunted down, wear him out. And when there's nowhere else for him to run, watch him yield. I'm so glad. My voice is as breathless as his. I'm getting turned on just thinking about it. She's like, I want to fucking chase you.
I think that would give me the ick watching Greg run. I don't know.
Like run from you?
Yeah.
Yeah. If Andrew was running from me, no. I'd be like, okay, safe word. We're done.
Yield.
Yeah, yield. This is gross. Stand up.
I think it'd only be icky if I could like actually catch up to him. I'd be like, ah.
Ew.
I'd be like, be a man. Chase me.
Outrun me.
Yeah.
Then she tells him that he's got 3 minutes and asks if he knows his safe word.
He stares at me like I just asked him to shove his hand up my pussy and put on a puppet show. Oh, God.
Then the game starts. She catches him quicker than he'd like and instantly pins him to make him yield and then enforces the Gluck Gluck 3000. Just as he was about to come, she edges him. She's playing with him until he catches on that she wants him to give in.
I want it. I groan. I love it. Love you running me down. Love you fucking me. Love it all. Please, Claire. Something primal crosses her face. She drops her hips, envelops me, slick and hot. This pussy was fucking made for me, or maybe my cock was made for her. I don't know. All I know is if this is what giving in to her gets me, I'll do it anytime, any place. Good fucking boy, she praises, riding me hard. Good little dear.
They both have crazy wild sex and have amazing orgasms. Shane wants to verify that they're together and that she is his. And she says, yes, they are. And yes, she is. She tells him that they don't have to do this again, her chasing him. But he's like, no, really, like, I loved it. He tells her about how he was initially interested in the hunter-prey aspect after the Christmas party, but he wasn't into it until he hunted her. Maybe it was never going to be right until they had each other.
Yeah, well, you left out a lot of information too, but whatever.
He definitely did.
Yeah. He said, and then I stalked you for 3 months. Don't check my computer. It's weird.
Ever.
I have a list.
Claire doesn't move right in with Shane. She waits until her lease is up with her roommate. And when that time comes, she teases him and she's like, well, maybe I'll sign again, but without a roommate. And Pookie Shane literally makes her a PowerPoint presentation on why she should move in with him, which I thought was cute. It's 1 month after officially living together and they're going to a silent auction for work. She, of course, runs into her shitty ex, Keith. This time he's without his girlfriend and he wants to talk to her again privately because the man just can't take a hint. She's like, we can talk, but I'm not leaving this spot. And she can tell that he's angry with her. He wants to know why she blocked him. He's starting to kind of lose it. And he's like, did Shane make you do this? Is he controlling you? You guys are not a match. And she laughs in his face. And she's like, I'm fine. And I'm definitely not going to take relationship advice from my cheating ex-husband.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Shane comes up with their coworker, Tanner, and they start talking work. And the contrast from when she was previously at an outing with Keith to now Shane is like black and white. Shane includes her in everything. And previously, when she was with Keith, he would ignore her and flaunt their sex life in front of his coworkers.
Which is like so weird.
After a bathroom break, talking to Margo about how weird Keith was, they went back to the event. And standing with Margo and Kane, they were just about to go find Shane when Claire gets a text from the man in question. It says to meet in conference room E. Kane looks over her shoulder at the message and laughs. And she says, be right back. They're about to get steamy at the work event. Shane is not having a good time, though. Over the course of the night, he lost his phone and hasn't been able to locate Claire for 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
Who was the text from?
Oh, yeah.
As he's searching for her, he finds Kane and Margo at the bar and asks if they've seen Claire. And they're like, yeah, in the conference room where you told her to meet. And instantly he's filled with dread because that was not him who sent the text message. Marco's like, holy fuck, it has to be Keith. Shane doesn't wait. He's on a mission to get his girl and will check every room if needed. Kane and Margo have him in Claire's back. They split up to search the conference rooms and Kane tells him to have faith that Claire can and will handle her own. When Claire gets into conference room E, she immediately notices it's Keith. He's standing there like he owns the place and is entitled to the time that she's giving him by walking into the room. He baits her by flaunting Shane's phone and saying that he's ending things with Naomi because he wants her back. And he's going to start his own firm next month in the town over. He thinks that she's just with Shane just to make him jealous and that there's a weird power struggle going on between them. And she's like, I will literally never want you again, so you might as well keep Naomi.
If she hasn't wanted you back yet, why would she want you back now?
She lunges forward to grab Shane's phone and he grabs her around the waist and pulls her towards him. She tries telling him to get off of her, but he's loving the struggle, even though technically they're just like kind of like hugging. She still doesn't want to be held or to be touched and he's not letting go. So she headbutts him.
Nice.
She hears a crunch and then as she grips her forehead and Keith screams, the door flies open and it's Pookie Shane. Closely behind is Margo and Kane and they're about to beat Keith to a pulp. And she begs him not to because Keith would just love to sue him. But don't worry because bestie Margo has it. With a move that no one sees coming, she walks up to Keith and sucker punches him right in the face and then throws her drink at him. And she says, sue me, bitch.
Yeah.
Kane manipulates the situation when Keith starts making a fuss out of it. And he's like, whoa, she tripped. Are you really going to cuss a lady out over tripping? That's not good for your image. Shane tells him to hit the road and don't look back. Keith officially quits the firm and leaves. Margo and Kane leave too to go get a drink after the fiasco, leaving just Shane and Claire left in the room. Shane makes sure that his girl's okay, and he tells her that he needs a minute because after this whole ordeal, he's about to lose control. And she says, yes, please.
Lose control on me.
They're both basically wild animals right now, just going at each other in this locked conference room. They're pounding into each other like crazy, and this whole time he's screaming, mine, 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 over and over again. And when they finally came, he says, mine again. And she's like, yeah, I heard you. I'm yours.
All right.
And he's like, oh, I thought that was in my head. Sorry.
Ugh, shut up.
Yeah, for real.
Claire's not upset about it, though. She's hella horny for her man. When they get home, Claire's about to shower when she sees Shane's expression and he's looking serious. He's so upset that he didn't protect her and she deserves a man who can. She realizes this has to be major damage from his dad's shitty treatment of him when he was a child. Because he has like a little bit of a backstory and whatever. His dad's just a piece of shit. And they have a cute little vulnerable moment where they communicate really well.
Finally, goddamn.
Yeah.
The first time ever. He asks her if he tells her something. Does she promise that she won't run and he won't need to bring in another contract? She says, yes, of course, no contracts. And he says, good, because I love you. She tells him that she loves him too. It's 3 years later and Claire and Shane are married. They're still calling each other little dear. Claire is taking a year off from teaching and Shane is taking some time off of work so they can go on an Appalachian Trail camping trip, backpacking. And they continue to get their freak on. The end.
That is not where I'd want to go camping.
No, girl.
No.
No. With all the skinwalkers and stuff?
Yeah. A deer skinwalker? When they're like, run, little deer. The deer skinwalker's like, huh?
Yeah, little deer, you called?
No.
And they're just running through the woods. I bet all those skinwalkers would be like, oh.
Perfect.
Delicious.
Hello.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I did like it. It was freaky. I don't really know if I liked Shane very much. I think I'll give it 3.5. I liked her. I liked the main character. I liked the dialogue sometimes. And I liked the situation. But Shane, sometimes he was a little fucking weird. And I don't like that he didn't tell her the truth in the end.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What did you guys think of it?
I did give it a 4 because I like the idea of it. The primal play was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Don't want to fuck in the dirt, but still pretty fun.
Worried about your holes.
I am worried about both of them. Yeah, Shane was a little meh.
I gave it a 4 too. I liked it. I think I'm going to like the next book more because the next book's Kane's book, which is his brother. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, my favorite part was the banter. They had like the best banter between them. It was really fun to read.
Hell yeah.
I gave it a 3.5. I deducted 0.5 star because he never told her that he fully stalked her for months.
Yeah. They always tell the truth in the end.
Mm-hmm. And the girls never care.
Yeah. Why didn't he tell the truth?
Yeah. And now they've been together for years and she doesn't know that he literally stalked her.
Like, that's how their relationship started. That's crazy.
Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about Huntsman by Naima Simone, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Ooh, mafia. I just started watching Sopranos, so fun. I can relate to this. Yay. Because I see it says a mafia romance.
You've gobbled your last ghoul, Governor Cuomo.
So what, no fucking ZD now? I think there's going to be a girl. Maybe they're going to be in like New Jersey or New York or something. East Coast. I think they're going to be in the East Coast. She's going to be walking down the street and she is going to fall down a pothole.
As one does.
Sorry. I'm just saying what is immediately coming to my mind.
Perfect.
And this fine young Italian man grabs her hand and says, no, no. So he gets her out of the pothole. That's just a little bit. That's a small side note of the story. But he gets her out.
I'm just going to tell you, just cut your losses. You didn't get this one.
Okay. I'm so sorry, guys. It's late at night. I'm delirious. I am excited, though, because I do like a mafia romance.
Yeah, we'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will. I bet there's no potholes.
There are no potholes.
Shoot.
Dang it.
Also, I said she fell down a pothole. I meant a manhole or whatever they're fucking called.
I was like, a pothole is sometimes only like not even a foot deep.
She just rolls her ankle.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.